sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace! Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really do appreciate it.
Happy Thursday. Happy Friday, Junior. It came up on us quick, didn't it?
We have a lot of updates for you. Nationally, the shutdown looks as though it is coming to an end. The New York Post says it's ending with a whimper. Do any of these shutdowns really end with a bang? I don't know. I've yet to see one. This is particularly lame, as we heard from Mike Johnson a few days ago that I'll never sign this. This is, you know, baloney. This is pathetic. And now he's signing it. And of course, the Democrats didn't get anything from this either. Both sides are going to pretend they won something. They didn't win anything. The only thing I can derive from this is that we, the American people, yet again, we take the top spot for being the losers in this situation when it comes to our politicians screwing us over and playing these partisan games and really getting nothing done in the process, all the while lecturing us on how they have the moral high ground and they're the ones fighting for us. If this is what fighting for us looks like, I'm good. You guys can take a break. You might as well go on vacation at this point. Now, that's happening. Trump last night, and I should give Trump credit here because I know there's this obsession right now with his poll numbers and how this conflict in Iran is making people unhappy and it's roiling the markets and the economy is affected by it. And some of this is true. But when you look at this shutdown, for example, he seems to be the only person working in D.C. It was his idea, or I guess it was Linda from Ohio's idea, to send in ICE to the airports. That seemed to move the needle. It certainly raised the profile and was a nice PR boost for ICE. And then his other idea to sign this executive order with the nod from Susan Collins, the head of the Appropriations Committee, that really started changing the way that this was rolling, the momentum of this. Democrats all of a sudden shifted on their, you know, hard stance of we'll wait this out forever. All of a sudden, they were coming to the table. So in this entire thing, I should say ICE came out pretty good, and Trump's never going to get credit for anything, and especially because we're the party in charge right now. But I would say, as far as people during this shutdown who actually made a difference one way or the other, Trump is certainly...
I love showers and mornings and bologna and turtles.
Bob's Burgers is in the news, actually, Taylor. Do you see that?
Is it?
Yeah, Google. I didn't click on it. Now I wish I had.
Which one of them is a creep?
No. This is even weirder. It's something to do. This is going to sound like a Mad Lib. Google Bob's Burgers, New Hampshire, Sununu, security? And see what
Did
you
Matt
get.
Did Matt write this headline?
Yeah, it sounds like
that's an inside joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. But it is a good one. You had to make it. Yeah, Google that and see what comes up. Some Bob's Burgers actor was in New Hampshire with Sununu. I don't know. We can talk about it a little later. Now, Trump. I just mentioned Trump, and he gave a speech last night. There were all these predictions. Dasha Burns, I think she's Politico. She told us what we were going to get. Like, he's going to do this and he's going to do that. He didn't end up doing what any of the experts. Once again, their predictions, Taylor, are not only wrong on the economy and on everything else, but their predictions, even for a speech that's going to take place in like 2 hours, it's a pretty short lead time for them. You would think that if something's happening in 2 hours and you're about to make predictions, I don't know. I would expect those ones would be more based in something. Like, you have a source or someone told you this is what he's going to say. She was completely wrong on her predictions about this speech. And I wanted to play parts of it because, as I said, the markets are reacting on a day-to-day basis with the messaging that's coming out of the White House about Iran. And they're also reacting to other things. The price of oil is going up and all this stuff. But there's no question that what Trump says and what he puts out there about where we are in this timeline and the successes we've had so far affects the markets. And that's oftentimes why I think he comes out early in the morning and says, hey, it's wrapping up. But there's no arguing really that the messaging's been all over the place. And I kind of think that could be by design. But what we got last night was Trump telling us firmly, we are finishing this job. So we went from unconditional surrender, which I really like the sound of, to, hey, maybe ceasefire, maybe deal, we're talking to people, we could come to something. Now we're back to, we're finishing this job. So whatever was happening in between there, these talks, doesn't seem like they're really amounting to anything yet. But this is how he opened his speech. This is a different topic, but I do want to touch on this just a little bit. This is how he opened up his speech last night at the White House. This is cut one.
My fellow Americans, good evening. Let me begin by congratulating the team at NASA and our brave astronauts on the successful launch of Artemis II. It was quite something. It will be traveling further than any manned rocket has ever flown and will very substantially pass the moon, go around it, and come back home from a distance that has never been done before. It's amazing.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this, Taylor. Artemis II launched yesterday out of Florida. And they did have a little, in case anyone's concerned, they did have a little issue with the toilet this morning. I guess.
Did they?
Yeah, I guess there was a call from one of the, there's four astronauts on board. One of the astronauts said, they're having an issue with the, it's always the flushing, you know, there's always, who hasn't been there before? But she was walking through, they were giving her like advice on the plumbing, on how to do it. They should have had Mark Wayne Mullen on the phone because he's got a background in this. He could have said, hey, listen up, not only am I going to provide security here, but I'm going to give you some of my plumbing expertise. But she fixed it. So the toilet problem has been fixed. But I didn't talk about this at all. And then I was reading about it today because I'm listening to Trump's speech from last night. And he mentions, he opens up with this, as I just played. And I thought, this is a really big deal. You know, this is really cool. And I should mention it on the air. And then I read this.
Going to the moon.
The so-called Lunar Loo malfunctioned as soon as the Artemis II crew reached orbit Wednesday evening. So I'm reading that. I'm like, okay, I'm glad they got the toilet stuff figured out. I guess they're very cold. The cabinet or the capsule is very cold. And so they're, you know, they pack some long sleeves. It's always good. Always good to pack layers when you're traveling. And then it said the mission is due to end with a Pacific splashdown on April 10th. NASA is counting on the test flight to kickstart the entire Artemis program and lead to a moon landing by two astronauts in 2028. Orion's toilet may need some design tweaks before that happens. And then I start going, wait, so this one... Now I'm kind of starting to understand why people weren't that psyched up about it, Taylor, because I was a little bit like, wow, I'm surprised I haven't heard more about this. We're going to the moon. We went to the moon in 1969.
This moon rock, it's pretty cool. It's literally a rock from the moon.
I thought it was kind of weird that there hadn't been more buzz, you know, about this. And I think the reason is because they're not actually going to walk around on the moon. And then that got me thinking.
Well, yeah, that would be historic if somebody did that.
Well, yeah, this is what I was going to lead into. I know that moon conspiracy theories are very popular. And I think they're popular, and I actually follow an influencer who points this out a lot. I think they're popular, Taylor, because it's like the one conspiracy theory that doesn't get you canceled. Like, you're not going to be considered. I don't know. You can
unless
say
unless you
it.
Tell it to Buzz Aldrin's face.
Yeah, and you gotta get punched. But in general, it's like a pretty fluffy, like, you can say it, and it's kind of like, oh, that's funny. Like, celebrities say it. It's not a big deal. And I've never subscribed to that, okay? I've never been a believer that the moon landing was fake.
You think it's real? You think we actually went there in 1969?
I think it's real. And I think it's crazy that that's now the minority opinion, is that it was real.
It's kind of like, crazy.
Do you think it was fake?
Yeah.
But here's what I'm going to say, Taylor. And this is kind of where I'm not giving what you're saying more credence, but it did get me thinking. It's like we were able to walk around on the moon in 1969. And now, in 2026, we got to, like, build up to 2028 to walk around. Like, we've got to do a flyby of it before we go to walk on it. It's kind of weird that all these decades later, it seems harder for us to do something that we were able to do in 1969. Again,
wouldn't that lend credence to?
That's exactly
maybe
what I'm saying.
Exactly.
It's the first time I found myself going, that is a little bit weird.
I mean, what else lent credence? Every time that you had a household appliance that didn't work correctly, and you just go, we put a man on the moon. Did we really? Did we? I mean, NASA made a lot of technological developments throughout its entire longevity, and that led to a lot of, you know, modern conveniences in everyday life. But did we really go to the moon?
And the space race, so is the conspiracy theory, besides like, oh, you know, they're in front of a green screen and whatever, it's that we were so amped up to win the space race that we were going to fake it if we weren't going to be able to do it. That's what people think.
Well, yeah, I think that it wasn't feasible to do it before the decade was out. So we were like, okay, let's do this plan B.
No, I still don't buy it, but I am saying it's crazy that now we're in 2026. And all I'm saying is, if you're trying to get me there, if you're trying to work me into this, it's getting easier for you, Taylor. There's an opening now that I've been reading about Artemis II. I'm starting to understand how those conspiracies pop up. Now, when we come back, though, there's a very, very infuriating story out of Boston, and it has to do with this budget gap. I've been talking about the budget gap. I talked about Bobby Ferrara yesterday from Southie getting the South Boston High team the baseball caps. I talked about Mayor Wu blaming this budget stuff on the snow removal. I had a friend yesterday say to me, why is she claiming the snow removal is the reason that they're over budget? The snow removal sucked. You couldn't get, you know, it was weeks and weeks and weeks before it was removed. And most of it just was removed because it was melted at that point. So we'll talk about all this. And I also want to discuss Jonathan Diller. If you remember the tragic, horrible, horrible story, the shooting of Officer Jonathan Diller, who left a beautiful wife and children behind, we're going to get into this because there was a shocking verdict reached in that NYPD hero's murder. And we'll talk about it, or death. Cops were investigating a suspicious vehicle when Rivera shot Diller and had a gun pointed at a police sergeant's chest when another officer at the scene shot and wounded the goon, authorities said, with the drama captured and heart-stopping body cam footage. So this is from the New York Post. The jury acquitted that shooter of the top charge of first-degree murder and settling on manslaughter. I want to talk about this jury's decision and also the crime in New York, as we also have the news that a seventh-month-old was shot yesterday in NYC. Oh, and I just got word on a side note here. I know I'm all over the map, guys, but it's Thursday. You know how I get. I have a large iced coffee today. I'm going a million miles a minute. City Councilor Aaron Murphy is going to join the show in the 1 o'clock hour to talk about this budget issue in Boston. So we've got a great show planned for you, needless to say. We're covering all the bases here. 844-500-4242. We'll talk New York when we come back. Stay with us.
Wow, Neil Armstrong. Hey, wait a minute. You're supposed to be on the moon. I just saw it on TV.
Oh, there's a tape delay and with all solar winds.
More of the Grace Curley Show up next. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Taylor, 904 says he's a bit surprised. I don't know why I assume it's a he. That you don't believe that we had astronauts land on the moon.
I mean,
I kind of am too. I would see you. You've got Buzz Aldrin energy. And so I would see you kind of taking the other side of this. And being,
I don't know.
Like,
I've seen Buzz slip
people
up a few times on his answers about the moon landing.
How old it is just he, though, Taylor?
Old enough to know better.
He's probably slipping up on a few things at this point. Can you blame the guy?
The technology, I don't think it adds up. I think it's just all too convenient. It was done before the decade. It was to win the arms race. It was to prove superiority. It's and watching the videos, there's just way, way too many inconsistencies. No, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
Have you been down a rabbit hole?
Have I?
Yeah.
Been down many rabbit holes.
But I'm saying, like, about this specifically, have you done the YouTube, hey, like, I'm looking into the conspiracy
theory? I haven't done, like,
theory.
Deep dives, but it's enough to make me skeptical of the moon landing.
Well, today's poll question actually doesn't have to do with the moon landing. I am getting tweets now that people want to know how many tinfoil hatters are out there and we should change it. But right now...
Oh, my God!
Right now, our poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Tam in Nashua. Call 1-844-PERFECT-SMILE or visit PerfectSmiles.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote... I'm sorry, I'm reading the text messages. They're funny. Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is how will the Supreme Court rule on birthright citizenship? Uphold it or strike it down?
They will uphold it.
Yeah, 65% think they'll uphold it.
Doesn't mean I want them to. Just means that based off the arguments we heard yesterday, that's where I think it's going. 508 says, next thing you'll be saying the WWE isn't real. I actually went to the WWE once because when I was younger, my brothers really liked wrestling. They liked professional wrestling. And I said that, Taylor, while I was there. I was confused by the hoopla. And I said, I'm confused. It's fake, isn't it? Why is everyone so excited? And when I tell you the death stares that I received after uttering those words in the presence of such big fans of this entertainment world, they were so offended by my statement. And I was just confused. I'm like, are you all, do you not know it's fake? No, I just didn't get it.
But here's what confuses me about that is they do know it's fake, but they want to pretend that it's real. But yeah. If you, I mean, it's like a transgender person. If you mention the actual reality to them, they know the reality, but they're also offended by you introducing reality.
People were very, very offended with that.
So, yes, I just said WWE fans are like transgenders, just to make that clear.
Taylor is not holding back today in any way, shape, or form. Have we heard from Kamala Harris about Artemis II? Because at one point, she was
well, wait till you guys see the moon. I'm talking to you. I don't know what it is about those craters on the moon.
Did you see the kid at CNN interview Taylor about the moon?
No.
He said, it's freaking awesome that we're going to the moon. Try to find that for me. That was great. He went viral. He's one of the kids they should have hired to be in Kamala Harris's YouTube video, because he had real passion about this moon mission that we are currently on. I wanted to, in this next half hour, talk about a few different stories, but I'm noticing people are texting in about the price of oil, and Trump did address this last night in his speech. Can I get cut six, please, Taylor?
That's all they have to try and rebuild. It will resume the flowing and the gas prices will rapidly come back down. Stock prices will rapidly go back up. They haven't come down very much, frankly. They came down a little bit, but they've had some very good days over the last couple of days. We've done actually much better than I thought, but we had to take that little journey to Iran to get rid of this horrible threat. With our historic tax cuts, where people are just now talking about receiving larger refunds than they ever thought possible, they are getting so much more money than they thought. That's from the great, big, beautiful bill. Our economy is strong and improving by the day.
I want to talk about this because the messaging out of the White House is getting some criticism. The polls are showing some pushback. We'll talk about it, break it down when we come back.
You're going to the moon!
Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Welcome back, everyone. There's rumors swirling, and I'm starting to think there might be something to them that President Trump is discussing firing Attorney General Pam Bondi. And he's been thinking about this, mulling this over the last few days, and he's grown frustrated with her for her handling of the Epstein files and other matters in the Justice Department. I don't know. I don't know, Taylor. There haven't been nearly as many shakeups in this administration or this term of Trump as there was in the first Trump administration.
Right.
When turnover was really, really
crazy. Yeah, it was like every other week there was a new cabinet member to get to know and love.
But so far, it's like, Waltz was one of them after the, what was that app called that they were all, Signalgate. And then we had Kristi Noem, I think that was 2 weeks ago, was fired as DHS chief. Since then, obviously, the huge story is that her husband, Brian Noem, has been revealed to have a bimbo fetish, bimbofication, bimbo giant large breast fetish, where he looks for women who have them, but he also wears them himself. That's just a little update on what's going on there. She is no longer the DHS chief. It's now Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. He's now DHS chief Mark Wayne Mullen. And so this would be, it would not be the first, but it would be extremely notable as she is in such a high position. And she has faced a lot of scrutiny, not just from Democrats. I would actually argue she's faced more scrutiny from conservatives who don't feel as though she kind of came in there and did what she had promised to do, which was clean house and release the files. And I think if she hadn't been, and this is an issue I have with conservatives, there's less of them in this administration, as I pointed out, but there are still a few, where if you make such a show of things for clicks and you want to make such a splash, you have to be able to back it up. If you come in and you're quiet and you kind of work and move in silence and then you do a great job, it's a win-win. It's very Secretary of State Marco Rubio. You know, you don't see him. He's not out there trying to hold up props and wow people and bring out binders and, you know, make Instagrams or make a show of himself. There is this red alert that kind of goes off in my mind with some of these members, and it happens to be a lot of women, by the way, in this administration, where I go, why do I feel like your ego is involved in this at all? And I felt that way about Kristi Noem. I let it go because the border was getting cleaned up pretty nicely. I felt that way about Pam Bondi the last time she testified in a Senate hearing. It was just a little too performative for me, a little bit too much grandstanding. So I wouldn't, there would be no love lost for me, Taylor, if Pam Bondi was out.
Yeah, I don't think so. Epstein files have terribly mishandled. I wonder how much of a role she had in prepping the U.S. Solicitor General yesterday for the Supreme Court argument on birthright citizenship. And how they were basing that argument, I wonder how much involvement she had there. I don't think Trump was probably very happy with the performance yesterday.
I thought Sauer did good. I know that some people were criticizing his voice because he's got kind of a raspy voice.
Oh, I don't care about his voice. You could,
but he can't help that.
Talk through a keyboard if you need to. I don't care about that. But, yeah, I mean, combating the Supreme Court justices and presenting to them, hey, I understand that you have to actually consider the law and the Constitution and the way it's interpreted, but you've got to admit to yourselves, and he did do this a little bit, that this is not something that the framers could have ever seen, or anybody that was, you know, making amendments could have ever seen in the future. So it's, maybe he did a great job. I'm sure he did, but it left something to be desired listening to the, especially like Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts going back and forth with him.
Yeah, it was kind of a thankless job. I don't think there's anyone who necessarily would have done a better job.
But if, but I mean,
if you're not
Trump,
getting the result Trump wanted, he's not going to be happy.
Right, if you're Trump, he's campaigned on this for a long time. And this is, I think that's why he wanted to attend this in person. There's so many of his things that have been before the Supreme Court. And he's not gone, obviously. This was the first time, I believe, a sitting president has ever gone to hear the Supreme Court come down on something. So this, I think, was really, really close to his heart that he wanted to get this overturned, and obviously a big disappointment if it goes that way, which it's looking like it might.
You know, I was just thinking about this because we're talking about how Trump, the difficulties Trump's having in this second term, and there have been major wins that are obviously not covered at all, but there have also been, you know, roadblocks. And right now we're in this conflict in Iran, and Trump talked about oil prices. He's not worried about they went up quick, they'll come down quick, and I believe him when he says that the stock market will soar once again. And everything is kind of hinging on what's going to happen in this conflict. But I will say this, one of the comments he made, he made this on True Social, he said it last night, has to do with sending Iran leadership back to the Stone Ages. Can I have cut 7, Taylor?
Thanks to the progress we've made, I can say tonight that we are on track to complete all of America's military objectives shortly, very shortly. We're going to hit them extremely hard over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to bring them back to the Stone Ages where they belong. In the meantime, discussions are ongoing. Regime change was not our goal. We never said regime change, but regime change has occurred because of all of their original leaders' death. They're all dead. The new group is less radical and much more reasonable. Yet if during this period of time no deal is made, we have our eyes on key targets. If there is no deal, we are going to hit each and every one of their electric generating plants very hard and probably simultaneously. We have not hit their oil, even though that's the easiest target of all, because it would not give them even a small chance of survival or rebuilding.
Now, there's a few things I want to discuss here when it comes to Trump's comments. I've said this before. I don't think Trump is telling us everything that's actually happening, because I think in a lot of cases, the art of war is the art of deceit. And you have to keep things close to the vest when you're dealing with, especially when you're dealing with a regime like the one in Iran. But I will say, Taylor, that this kind of like every 6 hours getting a completely different Trump and getting a completely different mindset, I think is throwing people a little bit, and it would probably behoove Trump and the administration to chill out on that. And if it is going to be 2 to 3 weeks, and if it is going to be, you know, this is what we're doing, I stick to one narrative at least for a while until you have something else to report. And I don't know, because there's probably people out there who are like foreign policy experts and war experts, and that's a dumb thing to do. But just for me, as someone who's in it, reading it every single day, it's such a drastic change 1 minute to the next of like unconditional surrender. And now we're talking and the really friendly talks. And yeah, that could be, and I bet people will text this in, that that's part of it. It's like, hey, that's part of, you know, the unpredictable nature of it. And, you know, he's playing four-dimensional chess or whatever. But I think for the average person, for the normie sitting at home, that's a hard thing to follow. And people are right. Once you start telling people, and also just when you think about the cut we played earlier, when he's talking about the economy, I have no issue with Trump saying, the stock market's going to soar again. The price of gas is going to go down. Have a little faith. Give it time. I don't have a problem with optimism. I really like that about Trump during COVID, is that he refused to be like bogged down by all the naysayers and negativity. And he really believes in America, and he believes in his own mission, and he believes in his cabinet. And I love that about him. But I think there's a difference between saying, I'm optimistic, this is all going to turn around, this is all going to go well, we've got the greatest military in the world, don't panic. I have no issue with that. What I have an issue with is then telling people things are great right now. Because that's where I go, all right, now you're losing me. Now you're going to start to lose people who are looking at their own finances and their own, you know, their own stock portfolios, and they're saying, well, no, if you consider this great right now, that freaks me out a little bit. Do you hear what I'm saying, Taylor?
I guess.
Like, if you want to project into the future and be like, hey, give us 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to crush it, we're going to bomb them into the Stone Ages, this and that, that's fine. But don't then do the Joe Biden of like kind of dismissing or minimizing what people are feeling right now.
I get that. How do you propose that he was minimizing that?
I thought a little bit in the cut before, when he started talking about how great the economy is, that's a little bit like,
well, yeah, he said
there's parts you could pick out of the economy that are good for sure, but I do think that
we were hovering somewhere around 49,000 and the market's at 46 today, so yeah, it's down a bit. But I don't think he's off the mark there when he's saying it didn't take as big a hit as a lot of people thought it would. It's not. I mean, stocks. It's such.
I'm not panicked about the stock market, by the way. That's not what I'm really going for here. I'm more just saying that when I think of the golden age of the economy that Trump promised us, I still think that we have I still think that's to come. I think if everything works the way I'm hoping it does, that is the future. But to tell me that, like, right now is everything's great right now just feels a little bit like you might be pushing it. You might be expecting people to believe more than what they're seeing. And maybe I'm just being a negative Nancy today, which is so weird because usually it's reversed.
Yeah, perhaps. But Trump is, he's always full of optimism, even if it doesn't sound like it, or if everything's down around him and it's clearly, hey, not going your way. He's more of a congenital optimist than Joe Biden ever was.
Yeah, and it's also like, why wouldn't he be? Because there's no benefit for him coming out there and being like, hey, there's doing the Jimmy Carter, like, hey, there's a malaise and, you know, people are feeling down. No, you get out there and, you know, you got to fake it till you make it sometimes. Yeah, I worry for some people that's a turnoff.
There was somebody a few weeks ago, I believe we talked about this, who was saying Trump, with Trump, he tries to just manifest everything. And
yeah,
even if he doesn't realize that that's what he's doing, that's exactly what he's doing. He speaks it, and sometimes until it becomes true. And they've meant that in a negative way, but I think he uses that as a motivator, and not like he's predicting the future or just saying it until somebody does it. I think that he actually has a goal, and he keeps repeating that goal. I mean, read any self-help book about becoming wealthy or prosperous in any way, and that's what you're going to get. And I'm pretty sure that's kind of the mantra that he stuck with even through his political career.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what else, Taylor, to your point, is the media is manifesting in the exact opposite direction. So he has to kind of meet that with an equal and opposite reaction. If they're going to manifest that everything's terrible and all his plans are going to fail, then the only path forward is for him to really, you know, to not only sell this to the American people, but to believe it himself. This is, and you know what's funny is, like, we just had a conversation, right? We just disagreed about Trump's tactics. I'm agreeing with you more now than I was at the beginning of the conversation. I don't mind this.
Usually how it pans out.
I don't, yeah, he usually gets me. But, like, I don't mind this. I think for a lot of people, and I'm going to get the heat now, I'll go on Rumble, you're stupid, you don't believe, you're a hater. But I like this part of being a conservative. It's like, we can disagree, we can have a little bit of nuance. We don't always have to be so aligned on everything, and we're still rooting for America. We're still rooting for the same administration to thrive. And this is what I kind of like. He said, 508, 2 to 3 weeks, just like 2 weeks to slow the curve during COVID, 2 weeks turned into years. I am not going to go there. I do not think that those are similar things. I think he said 4 to 6 weeks, we're at the 5 week mark.
I think what I think Trump is doing here is buying time for all of our so-called allies to get their ish together.
Yeah.
So that they can control the Strait of Hormuz and secure it, because that's what we were, that was one of the goals going into this. It was something that they had thought of, and any time you're dealing with Iran in the Middle East, that's one of the top objectives. So they're, you know, as he called it, delayed courage. They need to, we should actually play that. That's a good cut.
Yeah, play it. Play it.
Let's see. Which one is it?
Is it cut five?
Yes.
The countries of the world that do receive oil through the Hormuz Strait must take care of that passage. They must cherish it. They must grab it and cherish it. They can do it easily. We will be helpful, but they should take the lead in protecting the oil that they so desperately depend on. So to those countries that can't get fuel, many of which refuse to get involved in the decapitation of Iran, we had to do it ourselves. I have a suggestion. Number one, buy oil from the United States of America. We have plenty. We have so much. And number two, build up some delayed courage. Should have done it before. Should have done it with us, as we asked. Go to the Strait and just take it. Protect it. Use it for yourselves. Iran has been essentially decimated.
Cherish the cabin.
Yeah, you can feel the frustration there. And I think we all share this frustration where that strait is the reason that they're able to have the power that they do, and that they're able to draw this out and kind of wait it out in hopes that either a Democrat gets elected and, you know, they can go back to doing what they do best, which is creating nuclear, creating nuclear weapons and sponsoring terrorism all over the globe. But if there were a real attempt here by our allies to take control of this strait and to put an end to it, you could be not only contributing, but you could be ending a regime that has been so diabolical for decades, and to not have any desire to do that. And you are seeing a shift. You're seeing a shift with Starmer. You're seeing a shift with Macron. Trump actually mentioned Macron at a private lunch, and he said that he mentioned the slap, or would you call it a slap tail or a shove from his wife?
Yeah, it was a shove.
Push, slap, shove situation. And you're seeing a little bit of a turnaround here, but I just think it tells you all you need to know about our allies, using air quotes there, that this is what it has to come to, that right. They wouldn't jump at this chance.
Some breaking news. Town Hall is reporting this. Fox News reports that Pam Bondi was fired by President Trump just before he took the podium last night. Lee Zeldin is rumored as a candidate for replacement.
Oh, moving from the EPA to the AG. That's not a bad move for Lee Zeldin. I really like Lee Zeldin. I think he's... I think he is exactly what I was talking about. Every time I talk about Lee Zeldin, it's because he actually accomplished something. It's not because he's talking about Lee Zeldin. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. It's the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Oh, now we're getting recommendations. 617 says Judge Jeanine Pirro for AG. Now she's got a great position right now, and she's doing a bang up job in DC. We don't need her as AG. Lee Zeldin, head of the EPA, I think he's being underutilized there. I think as AG, this could be a good move for him. Here's the scoop from what I'm reading right now, and I'm getting this at the same time as you guys. According to Fox, President Trump reportedly already fired AG Pam Bondi. He met with her yesterday ahead of this speech, which we've been playing cuts from, and he reportedly informed her of her ouster. One of those sources said that by the time Trump took his place behind the podium for the address, Bondi had already lost her job and was on her way back to Florida. He's reportedly considering replacing Bondi with EPA Director Lee Zeldin. According to sources familiar with the matter, Trump held a meeting with Zeldin at the White House Tuesday to discuss wildfire and prevention, where talks of the transition also unfolded, according to an individual familiar with the meeting. The Daily Mail put out a tweet that she was begging to keep her job when he informed her of this. I don't know. Some of this stuff is just the rumor mill. Like, who knows how that meeting actually went down? I could see it. I could see her asking if she could stay. It says, when asked about the alleged meetings with Bondi's ouster, a White House source stopped short of confirming the information but relayed it was not cold. It follows a recent New York Times report detailing that Trump was preparing to replace Bondi with Zeldin as the president had become increasingly dissatisfied with her performance in the role. So a lot of big changes happening in the Trump White House. Bondi is out. Zeldin is in. Right after Noam was out. And Mark Wayne Mullen is in. We'll talk more about this. We've got updates for you. And Erin Murphy, the city councilor, joins us next.